It's only taken about 7 months for me to tell Duncan that it's okay now. Now I can breathe. And when I said yes, I shouldn't have said yes. Ask my wife. It's been a wonderful week. Spoke at a conference yesterday and the day before, and it's been fantastic. But I am super amped about this morning because I conclude the series on missions, and I'm like, yes. Because those of you that know me exceptionally well know that I'm very passionate about the Great Commission. Live it, breathe it, preach it, yell it as much as I possibly can. Because if we get that right, we can save this world. Make it a better place today, not tomorrow. So this morning, as you turn to Acts chapter 18 in your Bibles, we're going to conclude our series on the mission of the church. And I believe that this passage will answer a very important question for us. For most of us, we might find ourselves quite confused because we've heard wonderful stories of our missionaries all over the place, local and abroad. We've also witnessed great ministries taking place inside this church and this building. But for most of us, we're in between. We are neither paid missionaries that travel the world and translate the Bible and do great things. Neither are we actively involved in the day-to-day runnings of this church. Most of us find ourselves in the same boat as Paul did in this text today, where he was a tent maker. So he earned a living every single day. And then as we'll read in our text today, on a Sunday, he spent time in church. In their context, it was synagogues. And so I want to give you a bit of a history lesson on the city of Corinth first, and then draw that into our South African context. So Corinth at the time of this writing was a political and commercial center of Rome, of Greece, sorry, surpassing Athens in its importance. It was so important that they built a massive temple to the goddess Aphrodite. She was the goddess of love and war, and many people went and flogged to this temple, offering money and doing all sorts of ungodly things. But Paul found Corinth a challenge to live in, a massive challenge to share the gospel in. But he also saw this as an incredible opportunity to change the world. It was a bustling city. And so we find ourselves just walking through the footsteps of Paul as he journeys from this very moment for two whole books through the city of Corinth, challenging people to faithfulness in Christ. And so as we journey this morning through Corinth, I would like us to think about it as resonating very much with the heartbeat of South Africa. Where in Corinth, you had a mixture of cultures and ethnicities and people very much like Durban. Don't know about you, but with my latest meanderings in this wonderful city of ours, I meet some very interesting people. I'm like, whoa, these people don't exist. And they probably think, Jan, you're very strange. And I'm like, yeah, it's a great city to live in. And I shared with somebody at the conference yesterday. I'm just so grateful that my kids are in Durban. And sorry for Benonians, you guys listen to this later. I'm very grateful they're not in Benoni. Listen, good things come out of Benoni, all right? It's not funny. But I'm so grateful that my son can experience all of these different cultures in this bustling city of ours. But as I journey through this city of ours, my heart is also equally broken. For people spend enormous amounts of money building temples of their own, worshiping these temples in their own way. And very often doing very ungodly things too. And so ministering in Durban is challenging, as most of you would attest to. It's not easy. But Paul managed to do it. And through this text, he's challenging us to do the same. Where you and I, just like Paul, have to blend our faith and our work together, creating a culture of tent making that ripples through this nation. I'm going to say that again. You and I are called, just like Paul, to embrace a culture of tent making that'll send ripples through this nation in the name of Christ. And so let's read this text together, and I want us to just reconsider this for a brief moment, especially for those of us who still work full-time, that we need to look at our professions through a different lens. Often we think of our professions merely as a channel of provision. Well, what Paul makes clear in this text today is that your profession could be a platform for transformation in the name of God. From teachers shaping young minds to doctors healing bodies. From attorneys fighting for the good to engineers building brand new bridges. And please, can you finish the N2 tomorrow? No jokes. If I have to drive through the city one more time to come home, woo, people, it's fun. May our professions become the platform for sharing the good news about Christ in this country. So Acts chapter 18, verse 1 says this. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them, and every Sabbath reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Here we encounter Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers. And when you dive into this text a bit more and you go do a bit of history, they were really good tent makers. In order to earn a living and be successful in Corinth, you had to be good. Just like in Durban. If you want to succeed in a business in Durban, you've got to be good. Even more so in Joburg. They were phenomenal tent makers, extraordinary people with even more extraordinary hearts. They take in this complete stranger based on something they had in common, tent making. And so the same challenge lies before us today. When we ask the question, how am I going to get involved in the mission of the church in reaching the lost people with the Great Commission? Bankers, connect with bankers. Use your banking language to present the gospel. I can just imagine Paul, like, figuring out this tent and building it and chirping Aquila, hey, my tent's better than yours. And Priscilla's like, listen, Oaks, can you just chill? Like, look at my tent. It's got a bit of like flowers and stuff. Yours is just like Buddha and Soti tents, you know, it's functional. And here comes this wonderful opportunity while they're building their tents, building their commerce and their income stream, comes this wonderful opportunity to chat about God, and what God has done in our lives. And I just want to be very clear here. We've got to earn that right, man. It really grates my cheese passionately when us as Christians just go and Bible bash people. We haven't earned the right to tell anybody about Jesus yet. It takes time. Building a tent takes time. Building a successful business and a great relationship with another business partner or colleague takes time. And so the challenge here is this, build the relationship first around your flying and landing the plane properly. around your teaching and sorting out sewage. Hey, so I had to point out the plumber here, you know. He's got serious problems in our city, fixing it one community at a time. But building a relationship first is crucial. To the point where somebody asks you, but why are you so different? Why do you keep saying no to really good business deals where it's just filled with corruption and dodginess? Well, I run my business for the kingdom's sake, not for my own back pocket. So I'm saying no to this business deal, even though it will sort out my business until kingdom come. In that moment, the door is open for a conversation about why you really do what you do. That only comes with purposeful integration, where we take Colossians 3 seriously, where it says, whatever you do, whether it's plumbing or banking or suing people or defending them, landing a plane, teaching kids, whatever you do, do it as if you were doing it unto the Lord, for your master in heaven and not masters on earth. When you're purposeful in that way, yes, you can be that kind of guy where you put a Bible verse on your letterhead and all that kind of stuff. Or you can just be purposeful in the way you do your business, the way you work. In that moment, you're fulfilling the Great Commission. You're teaching the world all that God has commanded you to do. Work with integrity and love, ethics and compassion. What is clear in our text today is Paul had also a strategic relationship in mind here. Like let's form a business partnership with some other tent makers in the city and create this very good business platform where we can exchange business with other people in the city with this in mind. For every single business deal, I want to get them closer to Jesus. Closer to asking the question, why are you doing what you're doing in the way that you're doing it? Paul was intentional about this, and he was definitely very intentional about living a life of integrity, as seen in 1 Peter 2. We were called to live such good lives that the pagans in Corinth would see your good work. The pagans in Durban would see your good work. The corrupt officials in Durban will see your good work and go, wow, maybe there's a different way. And there certainly is. We need to view our occupations through a different lens. Yes, fathers and mothers, it is our call to ensure that we look after our families, look after them well. But if that is the only reason why you and I get out of bed every day and endure the N2 traffic, is that really worth it all? Worth the pain? Worth the difficulties? For some of us, we might say, yes, it is. It is worth it all. And it's good. Keep it up. But when your parents leave the home, or your kids, sorry, leave the home, you've done your job and you've set them free in this wonderful world. And then you start paddling your way towards retirement. And then you reach retirement. And then you play golf every day, or you join a sewing club, or I don't know what, or line dancing. There you go. Because you've earned it to get to that moment in your life where you can now enjoy just doing what you want to do. I often do this and I reflect back on the last 5 years. And then sometimes I beat myself up and Janine's like, just take it easy. Don't be so hard on yourself. I'm like, man alive, I wasted so much time. I could have done this and I could have done that. And she's like, you could have just chilled. Like, no. We could have done this and we could have done that. But surely when you get to the end of your life and you look back, you set your kids up well and your grandkids up well, and then what then? What then? We then head towards that final moment in our life and we look back. We go, what then? What impact have we had on Itikweni? Yes, we could have fixed all the plumbing and that would be fantastic. We could have made sure that we root out corruption and rebuild our economy and make sure that our kids are well taken care of and set them up for life. You've earned a really good pension and done all that kind of stuff. And we could even have had a positive impact on people's lives along the journey. But what is clear from this text today is Paul realized that, hey, 6 days a week I'm making tents, looking after my family and caring for my community and caring for the church and doing all this stuff. But he chose one day a week to dedicate his life to eternity. And eventually he got just like some people that I know very well, so hutful about the pace of change in this world that he just said, you know what, Aquila and Priscilla, you guys built tents, you guys got the business, I now need to go and do this full time. I need to reach more people. And he goes to Ephesus and all over the place. And he's seen by so many of us as the greatest missionary of all. And that's fantastic. Some of you in this room right now, you were called to do exactly that. To turn your back on your occupation that you've dedicated most of your life to and go into this wonderful country of ours and go open education centers at all of our schools that need them and bridge the gap between poor and good education at no cost. Step of faith. And then some of us are called to work excessively hard, to earn as much money as you possibly can so you can fund the people that go and build community centers and education centers and youth centers all over the world and our country. Today, ask yourself the question, are you called to be Paul in this text? Where yes, you've made a living, you've done well, but God now says it's enough. Go and dedicate the rest of your life to me and the furtherance of the gospel. Or God is calling you to be the Aquilas and the Priscillas, where he's calling you to do the best you possibly can in your industry to enable the work of God to spread faster and faster and faster. As South Africans, we've often lost sight of this. The wonderful community that Paul and Aquila and Priscilla created, something that we call in this country Ubuntu. I am because we are. Paul was only able to be a missionary because of the community in which he found himself. And the challenge for us here today is to make sure that this community, this room that we are seated in, is a true community of faith. Where because of the relationships we have inside this room, we've identified the missionaries already. We've seen God plant that seed in that person's life. And now we need to hear that call upon our lives to train, equip, and send that person to go and do the work of God in whatever way God has called them to be and do. We need to become a bit more mission-focused in the marketplace, in our everyday lives. The same challenge Paul had, we have to this day, is that we compartmentalize our faith. In a country where 70% of the people declare that they are Christian, we are the most unequal country in the world from an economic perspective. from an education perspective, from a child nourishment perspective. But 70% of us say we love Jesus. Something wrong. Paul challenged that in his day fervently. Go read through all of his other letters. Some of them, the punches are hard to deal with. But in a community like this, we can go, okay, let's do this together. Together as a church, let's fulfill the Great Commission. Let's equip the saints inside this building like never before. Let's sacrifice half an hour a week to do that. Let's go to work in the morning with a different lens. I'm going to work so that I can earn some more money to give some more, just R5 more to the church and its work. The elders are probably going, make it 50. And I agree with them. Let's give what we can to the church and its work so that the saints that are called to do it full time can do so without worrying about where their paycheck's going to come from or whether we're going to keep the lights running or the gardens maintained or the roof painted. Hey? The maintenance guy's like, yeah. Come on. When we get this right inside these four walls, when we train and equip the saints inside these four walls, and we are fully aware that those of us that work in the marketplace are part of that solution, because we're giving some of our time, talents, and treasures to the work of God. I do believe that maybe, just maybe, in our generation we'll see the city changed. Hopefully the world, but let's just work on our city. And even if we could just nudge that needle, just one little nudge to the right. To a slightly more functional city. Slightly better education. A little bit more equality. That would be fantastic. And then we can look back at our lives and say, yes, we have equipped our families to be great families and set them up for success in the future. But we've also done something eternally. Inside our community, inside our church. Every time we put somebody's head underneath the water here, we should all weep and celebrate at the same time. Because we have had a small part to play in that person making the most important decision in their lives. That's why we go to work. That's why we go to school and varsity. That's why we exist. And it's time for you and I to take this seriously. Well done for those who have. For those who haven't, awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead and let Christ give you life. Give this city life and this community life again. And I'm preaching so much to myself as I am preaching to you. Let's take the moment while it is still day. To do what we can to reach the lost with the good news about Jesus. And you might preach it yourself in your business or in your everyday life, or you do everything you possibly can to equip the saints and enable them to do the good work that we are all called to do. So that next week, this church is just buzzing with people. We're fighting for chairs. Yes, I'm the eternal optimist, but come on, man, let's get it done. We did a leadership day. Hey, Andrew, and you told me to go and stand outside the doors because I want it done tomorrow. And then other people are like, hey, just take it easy, Jan. I'm like, no, man, come on. We can do it, even if it's just one more soul next week, one more person. In a month's time, going through the waters of baptism. I would love 10 and 100 and if not 1,000. But one more. And so change the view of your work every single day. Change your view of church. This is not 1 hour a week thing. Your relationship with God needs to integrate into your everyday life. This should just be a top-up experience. We come here like, how's it? How was your week? You're like, it sucked. Oh, golly. Mine too. But at least now we're two that had a sucky week. And we can pray about it and talk through it. Or if you're like me, you walk in, you're like, how's it, man? The week was like hell. Springboks won. They kicked All Blacks butts and all that kind of stuff. And we're all happy. That's great. And then the rest, people are like, can we just have somewhere in between? That's family. That's community. That's building tents together for the sake of the gospel. And to hear the call of God today, change the view of church, of your workplace, and even your home. Integrate God into it all and allow Him to use you in whatever way to reach the lost for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Genade. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for every single person in this room today. The plumbers, the electricians, the lawyers, the pilots, the teachers, the doctors, and everyone in between. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to them. We ask, Lord, that you would help them see their gifts, their professions, their occupations through your eyes. That you've equipped them with those gifts. You've placed them in that specific company, that specific job, that specific school to be a light in a very, very dark city. So we ask that you would encourage all of us, Lord, to remain faithful to your call, to just be that Christian presence in a very diverse world with diverse views and backgrounds and beliefs. And also encourage us, Lord, that as we drive to work or we engage with everyday life, that we do so knowing that whatever we do, in word or in deed, we are called to do it with your kingdom in mind. And to such an extent that people look at what we do and say and give glory to you, God. And then through it all, Lord, we ask for the courage and the strength to be faithful witnesses of your good news. So faithful that people start asking the question, why do you do what you do? Why are you building this tent? And may our answer be, we're building it for the sake of eternity. And because of our authenticity, people are drawn to you, to your good news. And in so doing, we all work together to fulfill the Great Commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.